Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, it's chapter 25, and it's verses 31 through 46. I'd like for you to listen. You know this one, but listen for maybe something a little different to you this morning. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked, and we gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." And then he will say to those on his left hand, "You who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not offer me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, I ask that you open our ears and our hearts to hear your word, that I decrease and you increase. Amen. As we heard with the children a little bit in Sunday school, they've been answering some questions and studying, and Jay has been leading us on a series of messages about Methodism and what it means to be a Methodist and how it started and how we fit in and the sacraments, and we're just learning so much. And he's emphasized a lot about John Wesley, who's credited with founding the Methodist movement, and three things that you just heard that John Wesley said we need to do, and I know you've been paying attention and you can recite them. Do good, do no harm, and stay in love with God. Three simple things. Well, earlier this year, our conference got a new bishop, and Jay and I had the opportunity to go and meet and hear Bishop Connie Shelton talk about her plans and her hopes for our churches. And during this time, she talked about our purpose in this world. And she was referring to verses in Matthew 25. Jesus tells us here to go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. Another Bible translation that you might be a little bit more familiar with says, go and make disciples. That's why we're here. That's why we're put here in this world, in this location, in our church. Because think about it. Jesus was telling his 12 people that were already disciples, that already knew him and followed him and pretty much tried to act the way he did, to go and make disciples. He wanted everybody to be following him, to be feeding the hungry, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be praying, to be showing compassion, not judging. So for folks like us, that's our charge. That's our commission, to go and make others follow the way, to show and be his love. But, you know, discipleship is not just about learning about Jesus. It's about becoming more like Jesus. It's not about education. It's about transformation. It's not about knowledge. It's about our behaviors. But how do we do this? Of course, we know how, but she gave us a way to really think about making disciples. And her way just really stuck with me. And it was something that I just wanted to share with you. I wanted to share with you guys what she told us on how to make disciples. And then I related it to Pleasant Grove. So she shared that one of her favorite TV program or TV channels is the Food Network. Now, that's one of my personal favorites, too, because I like to cook and eat. Okay. But one of her favorite shows is called Chopped. Have you ever watched Chopped? So, you know a little bit what I'm talking about. The host has a basket of mystery ingredients, and they give to the chefs, and the chefs have to come up with a four-course really good meal out of these mystery ingredients. So she said that she had her Chopped box basket, and she wanted to share with us some of the things that would make a four-course big-time meal. Now, have you ever been to a fancy wedding where the appetizers were brought out into and amongst the people? They weren't like at a table and you had to elbow your way to get them. But they were very fancy, maybe on a silver tray. They had a white glove, and they came out among the people. Because, first course is to engage. So, what can our appetizer be in our basket for our meal? Well, okay. Maybe we see a moving van or a sold sign on a house in our neighborhood. Somebody's moving in. So we can take our appetizer. One of our mystery ingredients might be a bottle of water with a note that says, "The people of Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church are praying for you during this transition." Because if you've ever moved, you know, it can be, will the neighbors like me? Will I like the neighbors? Will the kids like the new school? Where am I going to go to the grocery? It can be a little bit stressful. But a note and a couple of bottles of water can go a long way to make someone feel welcome in their new community. Or maybe you see a pink bow on the mailbox or a blue balloon on the mailbox, and you know that there's a little one that has come home. Well, a welcome baby note. Pleasant Grove, we're around the corner. We're praying for you during this time with your family. Maybe some diapers or wipes or even a bottle of water might be nice. You never know. But just that we're thinking about them. Perhaps you hear a neighbor or someone down the street has had a death in the family. They may not have a church. Send them a card. Let them know that your church prays for people. We take care of people. Or if you've gone to the store and you come back home with your new box of laundry pods and you got a Ziploc bag, take a few. Put them in that bag, zip it up tight, take it to the laundromat around the corner with a note. And it says, "As you wash today, know that the people of Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church, we're around the corner. We want to lighten your load. May these pods be a reminder that we care and God cares. Because, you know, you're going out, you're engaging. You're not saying, and we want you to come to church on Sunday morning. Yes, we do want you to come and be part of our family. But we want people to know that Jesus loves them and that we love them. So engage in those appetizers. Our second course is the salad. Now, at a fancy wedding, you know, you probably got a little card with a table number on it when you went in. And so you're going about and you're finding your table. And then you start to talk to or see, well, who's sitting here and who's sitting there and do I know them? And as people start to gather, you start to connect. You get their names. How do you know the couple? Where are you from? You start that chatter about connecting. So we've engaged. Now we're going to connect. So maybe one of the ingredients in our salad is a book club. Mary Sue's heading up our book club. Do you know we had a book club? Well, this has caused me to read some books that I probably would not have checked out. I'll just be honest. I'm getting some nods here. The one we're discussing tomorrow night is quite interesting. But, you know, reading that book, yes, we want to increase our, you know, what we read. So that it's, anyway, we just need to do that once in a while. But it's about listening to the opinions and the ideas of other people, of connecting. Because it's easy not to listen to the opinions and ideas and learn from other people. And also, it's a chance to just connect and laugh and enjoy people. So what about grief support? You know, it's life. If you have not experienced grief, you probably will. Yeah, no, you will at some point. Did you know we have a person that works with the grief ministry? And when she finds out that someone has passed away, she sends this these books. There are four books. She sends book one 3 weeks after the funeral. Because, you know, about 3 weeks after a funeral is when the casseroles stop coming and people have gone back home. So she sends this first book. Then 3 months later, she sends book two. 6 months later, you get book three. And then almost a year, 9 months, you get book four. Well, why is that important? Because we know there are stages of grief. It doesn't all come at one time. There's stages. And a year later, you're still grieving. And you need that support. And you need to know that your Pleasant Grove family is here for you. We have an amazing outreach team. And we have an amazing congregational care team. You see monthly announcements about these two groups. Because, you know, they're always collecting. They're always doing. Our outreach team organizes and sets up apartments for refugees. Now think about it. You're here in a new country. And they provide a welcome home for you. They show God's love. Our congregational care team, they visit, they take communion to homebound members, they provide meals to families in good times and sad times. When we have a funeral here, they're always on top of having a reception so that the family can just breathe and talk with the people here at the funeral and just feel God's love. Well, these are ways that we need to be, or things that we need to be part of these opportunities. But we also need to discern new ways that we can connect with people. Because, you know, a lot of folks are just hanging by a thread. And sometimes they need for us to tie a knot in that thread so they can hold on a little bit more. And we can do that by showing God's love. And I've talked about new people. Well, let me just tell you, that new person might be somebody that's been sitting beside you for years. And they may need to see that. They may need for you to tie that knot in that thread for them. Because, you know, sometimes the only sermon a person ever sees is how we act. Yeah, my neighbors see me get dressed probably a little bit better on a Sunday morning and get in my car, and they know I'm going to church on Sunday morning. Okay, great. But what did they see on Monday afternoon, and Thursday morning, and Saturday night? What sermon might they just be seeing? It's our behavior. All right, but now we get to the good part. We get to the entree, the big food, you know, those cute little appetizers and that sweet little salad that doesn't always fill me up. So I am ready for my entree. Ah, to be engaged. So, you know, we engage to connect, but now the meat of it. We're going to equip, because we know God equips us to do anything that he asks us to do. But I look at this as equipping and nourishing other people, but what are we doing to nourish ourselves? I mean, you know, what are we doing? Did you know we need to spend time with God every day? Did you know our church provides the upper room daily devotional out here in our Welcome Center? And these are devotions that are written by people like you and me. And I can prove it, because several years ago, I was reading and I got down to the bottom, and it was written by Freda Umflett. Many of you know Freda. Freda and her husband, they come to usually the 8:30 service, but they're active in a lot of things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it really is written by somebody like me, sharing their story. Spend a little time. There's a Bible verse. There's a message. There's a thought for the day. But it's so important that we nourish ourselves with God's word. People that write that, they're students, they're young people, they're prison inmates that are writing these devotions for us to hear. So how are you nourishing yourselves? A couple of weeks ago, Charles Shaw and I ran into each other at the Harris Teeter, and I told Charles a few minutes ago I was going to call him out. But we ran into each other at the Harris Teeter, and honest to goodness, I think after we talked, I felt like we had had church in aisle four. I mean, Charles started talking about the prison ministry that he's involved in. Did you know we had a prison ministry? And he shared that he wished that he could have gotten to some of these people sooner, because he saw so much potential in them. But then he talked about how much he got out of it. So Charles was not only nourishing these people in prison, Charles is being nourished by that. Our bishop pointed out that on our conference website, which is nccumc.org, that the conference has provided a link to download the app, Pray As You Go. It's offering it to every person in our conference to practice prayer every day. Because practicing prayer kind of wraps up our equipping. Don't just learn about prayer, but practice it. And while I have some friends, one has a prayer chair, and another one has a prayer room, and I know they spend a lot of time in there. This is my prayer. Every day, spend some time praying and listening. Not just I, but listen to what God is saying to us. So we've had our big entree, and we get to the good stuff, the dessert. We're going to cut the cake. Oh, boy. And I laugh. I shared earlier that I, always think about how I learned the difference in spelling desert and dessert. And it was because dessert had two S's, and that meant more sugar. And so it was better. And so I never misspelled it after that. But anyway, the fourth course, dessert, is to send. We engage, we connect, we equip, we send. God sends us, and we need to send others out into the world to serve. Because once we've encountered the grace and love to Jesus, we can do nothing other than go join him and share with other people. We are sent when we join our church and society committee to build a Habitat House. And they've got one coming up in November. That's when we're sent. Ashley, Leah, and Britt with our Great Minds program, they have worked to get a grant to help with tutoring our Great Minds kids. And they need some help in tutoring. The grant will provide supplies, but we need people to help with our tutoring. Don is helping with that. Maybe that's something you need to be part of. Next weekend, we have the opportunity to glean sweet potatoes. You know, gleaning is biblical because they were told to leave food on the outside so that the hungry could be fed. We have a chance to do that. So we got a lot going on, sending. We're going to have Invite a Friend Sunday, November the 12th. A water bottle. A card. Invite a friend. To those that may not know the love of God, or they may just need to come and see and taste. So as we reflect, the kids had great ideas for what they could do with John Wesley's directions to us to do good, do no harm, stay in love with God. What meal can we prepare from our mystery ingredients and our chopped basket? What meal can we prepare to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world? Amen.